Hello and welcome to another jaunty episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and then one chapter from an ongoing novel of mine called Soul. As usual, if you'd like to know more about this week's story, then stick around at the end. This is the final episode of Season 1 of Dave's Short Stories. Don't fear, I will be returning shortly with Season 2. For now, let's get into it. This week's episode is called The Decayer.
The townsfolk stayed away from my castle. A long time ago, it was because of the whole, you know, being an undead lich. That was a long time ago. Those memories are full of fire and brimstone, pain and death. Now, you look out over your carefully cultivated vineyard. Scoresby was there, watering the grapes. Martin was busy at the other end with what looks like a wheelbarrow full of manure. It's been decades since you had moved on and learned that not everything was about power and death. Nothing like living for hundreds of years to give you the long view. Sighing, you wish it was not so lonely, though. No one mentioned that, about being immortal. The power, the glory, sure! Everyone knew about that. But what about the fact that you will outlive everyone? The erstwhile adventurer comes to strike you down. You defeat him, and in your grace, let him live. He settles down, has a few kids. One of them takes up her father's sword and comes for vengeance. Second time's a bit boring. You go through the motions. How dare you disturb me? Who do you think you are? The time is now, old man. You send her on her way with a head full of stories and a pocket full of gold for her trouble. Before you know it, they don't even bother raising a good old-fashioned pitchfork mob and comb-bearing torches. No, you occasionally have to deal with an overzealous taxman, but no one mourns his disappearance. He's a taxman. They were born to die. So what's left? I've been raiding the local graveyard for corpses so old that even their headstones seemed unsure as to who was buried there. That way no one would miss them. Scoresby? He was killed over 100 years ago. Great manservant. Happy enough. Good enough chat, even though he does have the annoying tendency of forgetting I've given him his freedom, and falls back into the lisping, "Yes, master. Whatever you say, master." Like a good Igor. I don't want an Igor, though. I want company.
There's someone at the door, master,
Jules said from behind my right shoulder, scaring the unlife out of him. Damn it, Jules, I snapped. What did I say about sneaking up on me?
Sorry, master. Can't help it, it's in the blood, Jules said despondently.
Jules was the most Igorish of the lot, even though she was female. I could tell she disapproved of me not kidnapping virgins or cackling maniacally. Also, I'm fairly sure she was the one who kept putting those dribbly candles out everywhere and rusting up the door hinges so they gave off ominous groans from the faintest touch. Wait, whoa, her words finally registered. Someone's here? None of the tax collector, is it? Asked hopefully.
No, master. It's a young lady with a sword, master.
Jules waggled her eyebrows suggestively. Considering I didn't have a lot to work with when I raised her, that was a dangerous thing to do. Ah, an adventurer! Excellent. I shall be down at once. This was exciting.
Shall I prepare your cloak, master?
Jules asked with hope in her voice. No, no, won't be needing a cloak. Also, no organ music when she comes in. No loitering around in the corners making groaning noises, if you please, Jules.
As you say, master.
The disappointment was palpable. A visitor. She must be here to strike down the ancient evil in the castle. Have not had one of those for years now. I hurried down the stairs to the front hall and opened the door. They opened with a creak that seemed to echo forever. Damn it, Jules. She would have worked on that one for months. What was presented was a young lady, sword belted across her back, well-worn travel leathers, perfect oval face staring back at me that was doing something to me deep down. Yes, yes, a vast foul fiend, I said before she could open her mouth. I know how it is. Please, do come in. She blinked in surprise. What? She asked finally. Sorry, I assume you're here to vanquish me or avenge your great-grandfather's death or something. What? She repeated again. Okay, not the quickest on the uptake I could see. To be fair though, she was probably expecting to have to storm the castle and fight her way through an army of undead minions before facing off against an undead lord, Lich of the Seven Hills, Scourge of the Righteous, Zethum de Decaya. Not have him stand there impatiently motioning her in while trying to mime get some tea to someone making ook ook groaning noises off in the corner. Zethum tried to grin disarmingly at her. Although, him being a skull, he had to grin constantly. I said, please come in. Are you in the avenging trade? Maybe they finally got around to posting another bounty on my head. She shook her head slowly. This was all wrong. The stories. Her grandfather was killed by this monster. He was not invited in for tea and biscuits. She drew her blade. She fell back onto what she knew worked. Avast, Scourge! Stand and fight! You killed my grandfather. Prepare to die. The skull showed some emotion then. She was not sure how, but he seemed puzzled. Me? Killed who? I don't think so, young lady. He seemed genuinely offended. She continued as she was feeling very off balance by this whole thing and figured shouting at the skeleton man in the... Is that a nightgown? She then noticed the slippers. They were fuzzy and woolen. Zethum saw her deflate and the sword tip hit the ground. Come in, child. Let's talk. Her name is Dinah Wren. Her grandfather was Jared Wren. She lived in the nearby village of Holhaven and had heard stories her whole life of the Lich Lord Zethum in the High Castle, about how her grandfather Jared Wren had gone to confront him one day and never returned, presumed murdered and raised again for a life of unholy servitude in the Decaya's army. Ah, Jared, yes, fetching young man, Zethum said as the servant Jules poured some more tea. Armed like a cannon. Speared me straight through the chest, clear 50 paces away. Then you killed him? Dinah tried again. Oh, of course not. We got talking. Turns out the young man was having some trouble at home. He just needed someone to vent to about his arranged marriage. One thing led to another, and before long we were both verstucken on my best vintage. Zethum got a lost look, somehow, on his skull and lapsed into silence. Dinah watched as Jules drifted into the shadows in the corner of the Great Hall and gave a few hopeful groans. This snapped Zethum out of his reverie with a glare. Jules, what did I say about doing that in front of the guests?
Yes, Martha.
Jules lisped from across the room and flounced off, the badly attached limbs and skin following a beat behind.
You didn't kill him? You didn't have him forced into unholy servitude under your thrall?
There was a lot of hope in that voice.
Sorry to disappoint, I'm no longer in the thralling business, really.
Zethum felt he had to apologize to that kicked puppy face.
Jared was a good chap. Sorry to say, but he came here because he needed the reward money. I had a price on my head back then.
Why did Grandfather need money? Dinah asked. She knew she shouldn't be trusting the Scourge of the Righteous. However, she was finding it incredibly difficult to distrust someone who was absentmindedly brushing the biscuit crumbs that were falling through his skull off his monogrammed nightgown.
Once we got talking, he... Well, this might be a little delicate, I'm sorry.
Zethum paused. Dinah had no idea what a lich might find delicate. She motioned him to continue.
Well, he was not exactly happy with his marriage, he said. With reward money... He wanted to take off and follow his dream. So I think it was about 4 bottles in when I suggested I just give him the money. I knew his pride would not allow him to just accept it. So I said it was patronage. I would support him while he got started and he'd provide me with his works.
Patron? Works? Wait.
So he didn't die? He just took the money and left Grandma?
Dinah was struggling to keep up. Oh, sorry. Again, yes. We sobered up the next day. Jared was sure it was just drunken rambling. However, I kept my side of the agreement. I got Jules to furnish him with some new clothes, some gold, and saw him off in the afternoon. He's been sending me paintings ever since. Paintings? Dinah was beginning to feel lightheaded. This was too much. Her grandfather had not died at the hands of the ruthless Lord of the Seven Hills. They had gotten smashed together, and grandfather run off to become a painter?
Yes, that was his real dream. Shame though, the man's terrible at it. I'm running out of places to hide the damn things. However, he still seems happy with it all.
He's still alive? I received his most recent work about a month ago, actually, so I assume so. Unless someone else is imitating terrible paintings of farm animals. Zethem turned to slightly. Jules?
Yes, master.
Jules lit from behind Zethem's chair. Jules, could you please fetch the most recent Jared?
Yes, master.
You'd think I'd be used to it by now, Zethem muttered.
He then noticed just how pale and drawn Dinah was looking. Oh, my dear, I am sorry. This is all a bit much for you. Did you want to see it? Her grandfather was alive. He was a painter. This grinning bone man was not the undead horror she'd heard stories of. What else was fake? The room started to waver and spin. No fainting, please, my dear. It does something rather primordial to me, Zethem said. Gripping the chair tightly, Dinah managed to bring herself back with effort as Jules returned, carrying a large painting in both hands, revealing it with a flourish that was completely wasted on the actual work. It was mainly brown. Brown trees, a sad-looking brown cow, even the sheep that looked like they were longing for the slaughterhouse were in shades of brown. Terrible, isn't it? I have a whole room of them now, Zethem continued. He sends me one every 3 moons. Thou fail. Dinah stared at the painting. Dinah had spent her life learning the skills of adventuring, honing sword work, fighting monsters, protecting the village, ranging further and further until she was confident she could avenge her grandfather and kill Zethem Decaer. Instead, her grandfather was alive somewhere and happily painting horrible things. Dinah met Zethum's empty sockets and held them before asking, "Where is he?" Zethem felt sorry for Jared for what he saw in those eyes, but whatever happened though, it would not be boring.
That was The Decayer. I had a blast writing this one. I got it mostly done in 2 parts. I can see where the inspiration came from. I wanted to play around with the living forever, but not have it be all dark and edgy. It turned out feeling very Pratchett-esque to me. I can see why. He was the master of the trope, basically inventing and reinventing it single-handedly himself throughout his works. It was hard to write chunks of this without it feeling like a complete rip-off, as usually when I write, I can just let it flow out onto the page and I can go with my first thoughts. Here though, my first thoughts were all reflections of Pratchett, so I had to keep stopping and discarding my first idea. I love the dynamic of Zethem and Dinah. He has lived for so long as a Lich Lord that all the grooves in his thinking are still there. He is trying to be a better person, Lich, whatever. But deep down, he's had hundreds of years of being one thing. It will take just as many to shift to who he wants to be now. I really want to play more in this space, have them go ranging out together to hunt down Jared. I have a few vague ideas, but have not committed anything down, as I don't want Dinah to just be another badass female fighter cliche, and I think I need to play around with her some more before I can write them together. Zethem is so fully formed as a character to me that he would just overshadow Dinah and not allow her to grow. As for Jared, as a character, he seems very fun. I can't wait until Dinah catches up with him. The idea of a fantasy medieval peasant living his best life, pursuing his passion, while being extremely mediocre at it, it just makes me laugh. Anyway, this was the final episode of Season 1 of my short story podcast. I'll be taking a short break before the start of Season 2. Don't worry, I will be continuing Soul during this break. If there was a particular story in this season that you would like me to revisit for another episode, then please drop me a line. Massive thanks to all of you out there who have been listening along. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully I'll see you all next time. Take care.